renters really care most about move-in cost. The day they're moving in or the day they're signing their lease, all that's on their mind is, how much am I going to have to be out of pocket? Take $500 out of your account or just put $19 down today. They're going to pick the $19.
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast dedicated to insurance innovation. So you're going to recognize that today we hit the 50th episode of the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast. Now, when I originally started this back last year in September, I committed to doing this for 1 year and 52 episodes, you know, really to bring the thoughts and the spirit of transformation and innovation that's happening within our industry to the individuals that are out there that works within the insurance industry and that's in the midst, in the middle of the transformation and actually having an impact on that transformation and innovation that we're seeing in insurance. You know, I committed to doing 52 episodes and we're at episode 50 now. And I think I might have mentioned a little early on that, you know, this has been such a great experience. And, you know, there's been a lot of value that you all as listeners have told me that you're getting out of this podcast. And I get the same value out of it myself as I learn more, as I implement even some of the things that we're talking about in my own innovation and transformation strategies. And, you know, I just want to say that, you know, number one, thank you for continuing to listen to the podcast. But at the same time, you know, I am hopeful that I can continue to make an impact on the insurance industry with producing these sort of educational series, outside of the work that I'm doing on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, I will absolutely continue beyond 52 episodes, you know, just to continue to bring value and to, you know, make my mark on the innovation and transformation that we're seeing within the insurance industry. So once again, I do want to just say thank you for being listeners of this podcast. I'm hopeful that, you know, you as a listener has been getting a lot out of what I've been doing here. And, you know, if you are, I just say, you know, just continue to reach out to me, email me, send me whatever message that you can, connect with me over LinkedIn. And while we're in the same place, we can ensure that we stay connected. So once again, I just want to say thank you. So, you know, before we jump in, I want to recognize the sponsor of this episode of the podcast, and that's Vortex Legal. Innovation in the insurance field is exciting, and Vortex Legal is a unique and proven solution to help improve a company's loss ratio by substantially reducing legal expenses. Their nationwide network of local attorneys attend the voluminous and routine and predictable hearings for a flat rate, not an hourly rate. So Vortex Legal's solution works with both staff counsel offices as well as outside law firms. They've saved many carriers millions of dollars. So if you want to learn more, just contact Jonathan Broder at 954-473-2648 or visit vortexlegal.com. Now, today I have the honor of speaking with Ryken Kuhl, the co-founder and chief executive officer of LeaseLock, an organization that replaces security deposits with insurance. Ryken, it's great to have you here on the podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, you know, so Ryken, you know, by training, you're an attorney, but, you know, you've had an interest in history, you know, prior to starting LeaseLock. So if you don't mind, you know, just tell us a little bit about what you do and how that's led to what you're doing today.
Yeah, really, I have a military background and a flying background as a pilot and really kind of started my life out that way in the Air Force. And then that was kind of like my first life. And then in my second life, I was doing television and entertainment. I got picked up for a show called The Amazing Race on CBS and ended up winning the race. And it kind of launched me into like a 9-year career in television, doing like acting and hosting. And I was kind of at the tail end of that career and moved to New York for a job with Viacom and tried to move into an apartment in New York City. and I got denied for the apartment because I didn't make 80 times the monthly rent on my tax return the year before. That's 80 times. And this was just the rule in that building. So you had to make like $250,000 to live in a studio apartment that, you know, that cost $3,500 a month. So I kind of got a chip on my shoulder about it, because I had great credit and I had the money to pay for the lease up front, but they still wouldn't let me in without a co-signer who had made 80 times the monthly rent the year before. And I got into the apartment eventually, and I had asked the person who co-signed for me if I could pay him for the service of co-signing for me. And he said, no, that's fine, I trust you. But the light bulb kind of went on after that. And I realized, wait, I could have people pay me to co-sign on their leases. And I ended up putting up a little website called it LeaseLock, a name I had just kind of thought of on the fly. And I created the website on Wix, and I basically said on the site, I'm a complete stranger to you, but I will co-sign on your lease if you pay me 10% of the entire lease value upfront and let me see your proof of income and your bank statements and your credit report. And I put little keyword search terms in the website, like apartment co-signer or apartment guarantor, private guarantor. And I ended up getting like hundreds of applications in the matter of a week. And I went through them, and there was a spot for people to download the documents that I needed, and probably totally illegal in the way I was handling PII, but I was just doing this privately. And I ended up picking 12 people who I thought I could co-sign for, and I felt comfortable. They were students from Columbia and just, for instance, people who worked for defense contractors, but they were from foreign nations and didn't have U.S. credit. And I thought they had great jobs and some money in the bank, and they just couldn't get accepted in the apartment they wanted to live in. And it wasn't really like a subprime deal. It wasn't like bad credit. I was picking people who I thought were great risk, but who were just being kind of left in the cold. And I collected about $40,000 from all these people in a matter of days, because I was moving fast, and because they needed to get into these units. And I co-signed on these leases, which was scary. And then I waited a year, and nobody defaulted who I had picked. So I got to keep the money, and I took the idea. I moved back to LA. I took the idea to an incubator in Silicon Beach, Mucker Lab, which is now Mucker Capital. And they loved the idea. Their founder had just co-signed on an apartment for his friend in Santa Monica. His friend was from London, a millionaire, but he didn't have U.S. credit, so he couldn't get approved at the apartment in Santa Monica. And they just loved the lease lock idea. They introduced me to my co-founder, Derek Merrill, who is now my COO. And we really got along. He's a product guy, an operator, a real go-getter. And I was more of like the legal insurance side of things. He was more like the product, you know, launching it, marketing it, side of things. We had advice from lawyers that, you know, this was great as a financial guarantor product just for me, but as we grew, we would likely be really practicing insurance. So we should probably be an insurance company that's allowed to practice insurance, because we would be setting premium based on risk and paying out claims based on default events, no matter what we called them. That's really what they were. And so we took that advice and spent 2 years building the LeaseLock platform. And we really kind of, we borrowed money from friends and family and didn't pay ourselves. And Derek had just sold a company, a mobile advertising company, to AT&T. So he had some runway to work with me and not have to be paid. He really believed in the product. So we built it from the ground up. And in June of 2016, we sold our first lease lock. With a large property management company. And since then, we've signed over 55 national enterprise property management companies, and we have over 1 million units now enrolled in the lease lock program.
That's really impressive in regards to, you know, how you got to starting the concept of lease lock and where it is today. But if you don't mind, you know, so break it down for me. You know, is the lease lock concept as of today the same concept that you started with, or are there some other elements that you changed along the way in order to align it with being an insurance product?
Yeah, we have changed quite a few elements, and in turn that has really changed the concept. I think I started this company with a chip on my shoulder trying to help people get into apartments they couldn't normally get into. And it's really become a company that still does that, which I'm really proud of. But really, it's a company that is a solution for multifamily property management. It is eradicating the use of security deposits completely across the board. When I first started this, I was working with people who just couldn't get accepted to apartments, to communities that they wanted to live in. And now, you know, LeaseLock makes one big deal with a huge property management company, and then all the renters that come into that property management company are eligible to use LeaseLock. Even the people with 800 credit scores and great US credit, they don't even have to pay a security deposit anymore, like the normal $500 security deposit, because they just pay a small monthly fee to LeaseLock along with their rent. And again, in the beginning, I charged 10% of the full lease value. Now we charge a low monthly fee that starts at $19 a month for everybody. So that's changed in that, you know, we realized that our biggest competition was security deposits. We had to compete with security deposits. And how do we beat the use of security deposits? And that's a lower price. Make sure that, you know, we just kept selling and selling, building up our reserves to make it possible to get our reinsurers to agree to allow us to lower our price enough that we would be less expensive than any security deposit out there, because renters really care most about move-in costs. The day they're moving in or the day they're signing their lease, all that's on their mind is how much am I going to have to be out of pocket? And it's the most intense thought they have on that day. And when you offer them, hey, you can either put down, you know, take $500 out of your account or just put $19 down today and then just pay this $19 fee while you live there, they're going to pick the $19. This is especially true with the millennial market. They do not like giving people huge lump sums of money and then having it come back to them at a later date. And then with the risk that it's not all going to come back, they would rather pay a subscription fee. They're not buying $1,000 iPhones. They're getting an iPhone and having it taken off their phone bill every month. And then for people who are, you know, in the more on the marginal side, where they are having trouble getting an apartment because they don't have U.S. credit or they don't have the best credit, those people, instead of paying a $3,000 or $4,000 security deposit, you know, three times the monthly rent, they just pay to us a small monthly fee starting at $59. So it's a lot different. We make it so much more affordable now for people to move into units. But when I told you that we're really a solution for big property management, we found out that big property management hates security deposits. They hate collecting them. They hate managing them. They have to put them in escrow accounts and not put them on their balance sheets. They have to, you know, in some jurisdictions, pay interest on that back to the renter. And if they do it wrong, they're up for legal liability for class action. When we tell, you know, a smart executive of a property management company that they never have to deal with security deposits again, their eyes light up. and they say, wow, like, let's do it. Let's replace this whole security deposit system with this pure form of claims-based insurance.
Yeah, you know, so I can see the value on both ends, right? So, Ryken, you know, what you all have done is on the first side of this is it's to provide the ability for people to not have to put up the large sums of money, whether or not they don't have the credit, whether it's something that's too much of a big sum, you know, that they may not be able to afford, and so on. But on the other side of this, you know, you're providing that ability to for these property managers to change the way in which they interact with the customer up front in regards to collecting the down payment from a lease perspective, as well as not having to deal with that. So in essence, you know, it sounds like you're solving problems on both sides of the equation, you know, for both customer bases. So, you know, in your words, you know, what are your thoughts around the key benefits from both sides of the segment? Is it in alignment with what I just somewhat summarized?
It is. Our key objectives now are to eradicate security deposits for property management so that they don't have to deal with them because they don't like them. It's a poor form of self-insurance to use security deposits. There's liability around security deposits and holding someone else's money. There's liability in the way that you apply the security deposit to damage at the end of a lease that, it's so segmented in all these different jurisdictions of what you can and cannot spend the security deposit on. We take that all away. We believe that the future is no more security deposits at all, and that lease lock is the solution. For renters, I told you that, you know, I started this to help renters, and we still obviously do, but it's going to get actually better for renters too. We have an interactive map on our website that shows, you know, which properties across the nation are accepting lease lock. And it's growing by leaps and bounds on a daily basis. And as we get that network more and more solid, renters are going to be able to just come to our site, click on a property that already accepts lease lock, and know that they can go to that property and apply. And they're going to have a really easy time starting their lease, and they're not going to have to come out of pocket. And we really want to be that resource for those renters.
Absolutely. You know, so just thinking about where you are in your history, you know, earlier this year, you guys secured a $10 million funding round, which included companies like Liberty Mutual Strategic Ventures, as well as American Family Ventures, as a part of the funding organization. Now, I guess my question is, you know, was Liberty a strategic partner, and what value do you see coming from having carriers on your investment panel?
Yeah, you know, we definitely consider Liberty a strategic partner just because of their obvious amazing background and expertise in insurance. The Liberty Mutual Ventures team is separate from, it's quasi-separate from the Liberty Mutual kind of insurance operations company. But, you know, all of the connections are still there. And so we're really proud to be working with them. I have kept in touch with Liberty, who I've admired as a company for years, and I kept in touch with them from the very beginning, just letting them know where we were and what we were doing. We had been through a couple smaller rounds earlier than our A round, and I was so excited on the A round when they said that they wanted to start diligence and really see if they were ready to invest, and they ultimately did. And so it's kind of a ribbon I wear because I have now Liberty on my team. And that's not all. We have American Family Insurance Company Ventures. I feel exactly the same way about. And they've been with us through our seed round as well, and been really kind of invaluable advisors to LeaseLock, not just on the insurance side, but on kind of the financial model side and our financial health side. And then in this latest round, we brought on Modern Ventures. Modern, we're really proud to have on. They're a real estate strategic for LeaseLock. And they're really, really hands-on. And for them, it's not just lip service. It's when they say they'll be hands-on, they really are. They try their best to make connections and put us in front of the right people and make sure we're speaking at the right positions at the right conferences. And they're really thinking on the lines of real estate and multifamily. And they have so many connections to the big clients that we already have and the clients that we want to bring on to show them the value of the lease lock program. So it's exciting. And then also in the A round, we brought on Hivers and Strivers. This is a VC that only invests in companies that are run by Service Academy graduates. And I graduated from the Air Force Academy. And so they invest in, you know, Air Force Academy, West Point, and Annapolis, and Coast Guard Academy graduates only. And so it's been cool. It's a cool model for them, and they've been really helpful too. And they came in big on the A round.
And I think that's great, especially getting the panel of investors and that you're getting. You know, the financing is always great, but I always say the subject matter expertise, at least from my perspective, is absolutely worth just as much as the funding that you get. You know, as I sort of dug into the concept in regards to what you all are doing, and you know, start to look a little more globally. You know, other organizations started to pop up like Canopy and Snug and some of the others while you guys have really been around for quite some time before that. So, you know, just thinking about the spirit of innovation, you know, what are you all doing to maintain your competitiveness in this space and, you know, just staying ahead of those that are now starting to align themselves with the value proposition that's similar to yours?
Yeah, you know, we still think that our biggest competition is security deposits. We've been keeping our head down and keeping our head into the multifamily space. I think that's why we continue to win the game and dominate here, is that we're really getting in the trenches with the executives of property management and finding out exactly what they need and what they like and what they don't like. And rather than just running a program that is something that we like, we're running it as a program that serves their needs. And we've made a lot of strides to do that. You know, we've kept our program on surplus lines instead of being an admitted program, because we want to be able to make quick changes to our policy and our program if we want to. You know, that's a lot easier to do on surplus lines. So we choose to pay the tax to have the ability to do that, so we can best serve our clients. You know, in the competitive market, there's people out there that are admitted, and at best, they're going to be able to offer these monolithic programs that aren't going to be able to have big changes, and they're not going to serve their clients well. And so we're staying on that track, and making sure that we can always make the changes as necessary and do it here in-house. You know, we also developed our own general agency here at LeaseLock as a sister company. So we're doing all of our own brokerage and all of our own agency activities here, as, you know, through a sister company in-house, so that we don't have to outsource it. This makes it a lot easier for us to communicate between, you know, the parent company and the agency, rather than using an outside source and having to kind of blow money on that to pay some other broker. We get to keep it all here. So, you know, we're doing everything we can to just follow on our mission and continue to be the best.
Absolutely. You know, so you know, I look at you all in regards to the operations that you have in place, and I, you know, consider what you all are doing under the InsurTech category, and I think you all are would probably categorize yourselves that way as well, and others do too. Now, you know, industry leaders are looking at InsurTech startups or organizations like yours as ways to engage where they may not have had expertise, you know. So Reiking, from your perspective, you know, what do you see as the benefits of carriers working with InsurTech organizations and companies that's been around for some time, like, you know, American Family, Liberty, and others? You know, what's the value that comes from, you know, re-engaging organizations like yours and others in the InsurTech space?
Well, you know, a lot of these companies come from really traditional backgrounds and very, and even those companies will self-describe as, you know, the kind of stodgy way they used to do business, and how they really are all trying to break out of those habits. And they really do want to become, you know, pure InsurTech companies. And they have like the amazing resources from all their hard work in the past to do it. And, you know, by reaching out to companies like LeaseLock, who are, you know, fully paperless and really changing the space and really, you know, moving in and disrupting not only insurance, but also like an entire other industry like property management, they're accomplishing those goals. And I think that's true of all of these kind of legacy insurance companies. And I think the ones who are not reaching out and doing that are really missing out on an opportunity.
Absolutely. You know, so just thinking ahead, right? And, you know, what do you see as the future for this segment of business? And is LeaseLock at some point considering, you know, other segments to penetrate and provide value in?
Yeah. Like I said, I really believe that the property management world is going to toward no more security deposits. It's really, again, an antiquated system. It has too much liability, and it's again a poor form of insurance. I think it's moving in this direction. As far as LeaseLock is concerned, you know, we are right now running through, you know, the enterprise market. You know, the property management companies with 5,000 units or more. Sometimes we do we work with property management companies with fewer units, but not too much fewer. So we're in enterprise right now, but enterprise is only 20% of the rental market, of the residential rental market. The other 80% is what we call long tail, and that's the market that, you know, the Airbnbs of the world are really having success in. These are the property management groups and companies and individual owners who have fewer than 1,000 units, and sometimes fewer than 10. And we would like to get into that other 80% of the market, obviously. So we're developing that currently. We're also adding on a renter's insurance product in the near future here. We're just making sure that we perfect it and get it exactly how we want it to be before we fully roll it out. But we'll be announcing that soon.
Absolutely. And honestly, as I was thinking through what you were talking, as you were talking earlier, you know, I thought that, you know, as you guys are doing this with leases, you know, the renter's insurance market is an absolute market that could, you know, use a player like yourselves to help to pull together, you know, the leasing component with the rental piece as well. So I'm not sure if you guys are in the process of restructuring what renter's insurance may look like to also include a lease component in there. But that's exactly where my mind was going in regards to where I see, you know, some more significant value. You know, I myself, you know, I owned a couple of single family homes, and, you know, we rented it out. And what we found over time was that as we were looking for new, you know, renters and tenants to come into the building, it was always really tough for those tenants in regards to being able to provide the security deposit as well as the first and last month's rent, right? So in essence, to the point that you made, depending on the market that you're in, it can be upwards of, you know, $9,000, $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 that these individuals may have to shell out up front. Right. And for some people, that's an insurmountable amount to be able to, you know, shell out for a lease and for first and last months. And sometimes, you know, there are organizations, especially independent, you know, landlords that require 2 months worth of security deposit as well as first and last months. So, you know, in the independent space, you know, how are you all looking there? And, you know, so I know you mentioned that 20% of what you're doing is in that commercial space or in the enterprise space, but, you know, from an independent perspective, are you deeply targeting the independent landlords and how's that been working out for you all as well?
Yeah, so we haven't gone there yet. You know, we've really built our company on the enterprise market, but we're developing right now that what you're calling the independent market, a service for that. And really, the only difference is we really want to offer the same kind of coverage and the same kind of convenience and the same benefits for the renter and the property. But, you know, we have to deal with, unfortunately, there's the risk of moral hazard. You know, when you get down out of enterprise. You know, for enterprise market, these property management companies are like machines. They re-rent units pretty quickly. You know, LeaseLock stops paying on the claim when the unit is re-rented. But the, you know, these property management companies, they do their best to re-rent because they want to keep occupancy rates high. And they just advertise as normal, as it says in the policy to do. But you know, when you get down into the long tail, there is going to be the risk of people who are not going to try to re-rent the unit, and they're just going to sit back and collect, you know, on the lease lock claim. And we have to, you know, make sure that we're developing a program that prevents that, that takes away that temptation to commit insurance fraud. And that fraud would be, you know, sitting back and collecting insurance when you're not actually making efforts to mitigate. So, you know, that's the challenge, but, you know, we have some really great ideas that we think are going to overcome that.
Absolutely. You know, so Ryken, you know, just thinking about your space and then beyond, you know, just there's been so much transformation that's been occurring just in our industry in general. And you guys have really took a targeted area and then transformed that area in regards to lease insurance, you know. But just looking beyond that, you know, what do you see as, you know, some of the other transformations that we may witness within the insurance industry, you know, 2-3 years down the line?
Yeah. Well, I think everything is going so electronic. You know, everyone wants to buy insurance on their phone. They want it to be super simple. There are a lot of other innovative companies out there that are making insurance claims processes, you know, 30 seconds long and done on a smartphone, and insurance policies that aren't, you know, filled up with legalese that nobody can read, simplifying things. You know, finding ways to cut and make these kinds of documents way more understandable to the layperson who's actually the one who's affected by those documents. So, and I know we try to do that here at LeaseLock too. So I think everything's going in a direction of, you know, simpler, faster, more electronic, you know, and less expensive. That's the push. You know, you to win in this game, you have to have the best rates. And, you know, that's why, you know, one of my number one top of mind thoughts that I have on a daily basis is as the CEO of this company driving it forward is I want to always be able to have the best rates and offer the best coverage. And the way that I'm going to do that is to have the most volume. And so I'm putting a lot of effort on all three sides of that. So that's where we're going.
Absolutely. You know, so just thinking about what we talked about, and you mentioned that you guys are innovating in other areas and introducing new products over time as a part of your roadmap. So how does LeaseLock, you know, just keep and create a really great culture and environment for innovation?
You know, we do it with teams. We have teams with really great directors, and that's the direction that we've moved in. We've grown really fast, and so we've had to figure out a structured way to handle that growth. And I mean, in the number of employees that we have here internally in the office. And so we have our teams, and We every week we have an all team meeting where everyone gets to hear about kind of the gripes and problems and then also the successes of all of the other teams, so that the whole company is aware of what the rest of the company is doing. And then we always have another meeting every week that is just it's like the executive roundtable for the directors. And then, you know, usually a legal rep or a rep from the CEO office is in that meeting too. Where, you know, this is where we get down to the nitty gritty, and these directors are reporting to the CEO and the COO exactly where they are on their KPIs and you know, what direction they're going in, and if it's right or if it's wrong, and we discuss those ideas in a more kind of like concentrated and effective meeting. And then, you know, it's just hiring the right people and then making sure that you're not keeping people here who are not fully engaged in what we're doing. I feel like everyone that we have at LeaseLock who's here for the long haul loves LeaseLock, and they love what we're doing, and they believe in what we're doing, and I think it's key. Every time I interview someone, I'm usually the final interview on hires. I want to just see in that person's eye that they think this is a really cool idea. And that's like half the battle for me, because that means they believe in what we're doing. And it doesn't, you know, it's not like somebody just, you know, being like a gerbil on a wheel, like in the cage.
Absolutely. You know, so just thinking about that, you know, one of the questions that I always ask, and I love, you know, how you position, by the way, you know, how you all maintain a culture of innovation. But one of the questions that I always ask is, you know, if there's folks that are listening to, you know, the two of us speak here today, to make it tangible for them, and if we could provide one piece of advice for them to, you know, do things differently at their desk and, you know, challenge the status quo in order to help to drive towards whatever their organizational objectives are, you know, what piece of advice would you give them to do things differently and more innovatively?
I think it's speak up, you know. So often in these structures, and even in startups that are moving really fast, that are being led by people who have really strong personalities, you can't be afraid of those people. They have those strong personalities because that's what they thrive on and that they react to. So you kind of got to be strong yourself. And if you're not going to really gain the respect of those people if you don't speak up for the ideas that you think should happen. And there's a way to do it and that's very respectful and that's constructive. But to sit back and not say anything because you're afraid to get your idea out there, that's the biggest mistake for the individual. It's a mistake for the environment of the company. And it's a mistake, you know, if the leaders of the company aren't telling people that they can do that and come forward and giving them a platform to do it. But it really does start with that employee who's like confident enough to just stand up and say, I'm gonna give my idea. I'm gonna say what I think.
Absolutely. You know, so Ryken, you know, I do want to say thank you for your time here today speaking with me on the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast. If anyone wanted to learn more about LeaseLock or to wanted to get in contact with yourself or your team, you know, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, you can shoot me an email at Ryken@leaselock.com.
Awesome. Well, Ryken, once again, thank you. I do appreciate your time. And I just look forward to continuing to follow, you know, the future of what's in store for LeaseLock.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on your podcast. And, you know, I hope we can do this again when we have more news.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode of the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, hit that subscribe button so you can get access to all of the future episodes automatically on whatever platform you're using, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever it may be. You know, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. You know, I just want to continue to say thank you for listening, and I'm just hopeful that we'll see you next week.